Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Jump in. We are in a series, I Want to Be Rich. This is a new series that we started last week. Just incredible. We're going to talk over the next few weeks really what it means to be rich. Before we jump in, though, as always, I want to just share with you some things that are going on tonight that you can be a part of. And one of those things is student life. That's from 5 to 6 p.m., grades 6 through 12th. Just an incredible really ministry that's going on for our students. And it's just amazing to walk in here and see them all really chasing after God and praising God and learning about God and how they can apply it to their lives. So if you know a student 6 through 12th grade, make sure they're here tonight at 5 p.m. And then right after that, we have prayer in here in the sanctuary from 6 to 7, where we just throw some music on. And in the background, we throw some slides up and kind of can direct you and guide you through some prayer. Or if you want to, you can also journal, read your Bible, pray in your own way there as well. But just an hour that we set aside that we can start our week off in prayer. I challenge you to come to that. If you're not doing anything tonight, make sure you come to that. We do have child care provided as well. So if you need just some time of peace and quiet, that is a great time as well. God will meet you in that place there. But we're jumping back into this series entitled, I Want to Be Rich. And again, our idea and what we really want to walk away with from this series is to really grasp and understand what it means to be rich. Because really, I think it's different than what we usually think. Again, last week we talked about how many times we approach the game of life kind of like we do the game of Monopoly, right? We try to get rich by getting and taking as much as we can. So we talked a little bit about Monopoly. Now, if you're here last week, did anybody play Monopoly because you're just like, man, I'm going to go home and do that right away? Okay, nobody, but I'm sure like this is the week you can do it. So, and we even got you a little sticker so you know which one you're going to go through and what piece you're going to play. But it's just some fun stuff. But we talked about how in Monopoly, the goal is to get the most, right? It's to have the most money. It's to have the most houses, to have the most hotels, the most properties. It's to have the most stuff. And we talked about even last week, I kind of admitted that sometimes, you know what? I even cheated to get the most because I'm colorblind and you just don't let a colorblind person become a banker. So we talked a little bit about that. We talked about how we barter and we bargain to get the most. And really that transfers over in life. So many times we approach life the same way. But that's not what God has called us to do. So again, if you missed last week, I would challenge you to go back and listen because it really sets everything up for this whole entire series. It really sets us up to look at what it means to be rich is really different than what we think. And again, it's found in our kind of the foundational scripture for this series, which is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. And as always, if you don't have a Bible, we challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app on your phone. And yes, it's okay to pull your phone out during church because I know that you're not scrolling Facebook. I know that you are looking at the Bible and the Bible app. But more importantly, one reason why we want you to put it on your phone is because you take your phone with you wherever you go. You take your Bible with you wherever you go and read it every single day. Read it more than just on a Sunday morning, but read it every single day. And then 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. Again, this is the main scripture for the next few weeks. So I challenge you to write this down. But it says this, it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Again, in this passage of Scripture, Paul is writing to Timothy. Paul is a guy who started many churches, and Timothy was overseeing some of these churches. And he's writing to Timothy, and he's telling them, you know, here's a warning against people who have this arrogant attitude and who are extremely rich that can be a danger to the church. Now, again, for many of us, I don't think our attitude is quite there, but I think for many of us, we look to riches instead of God to find our purpose. We look to riches instead of really putting our hope in the treasures of what's to come. And because of that, last week, we walked away learning that it's more about who you're rich in than what you're rich in. And really, this is the foundation for this whole series. And this thought really all boils down to trust. It boils down to trust. And trust, if we're honest, trust can be a tricky thing, right? We've probably all been at some place or some point in our life where we placed our trust in the wrong thing, or we placed our trust in the wrong person, and it came back and it burnt us, right? I mean, again, if you think back to the game of Monopoly, think about this. How many of you have ever been burnt in the game of Monopoly? Or maybe you burned somebody in the game of Monopoly, right? You know, the game's getting long, and again, we talked about how at the end, you're just ready to bargain with people. You're ready just to trade with people. And chances are, somebody may have taken advantage of you during that time, or you took advantage of somebody else. Like, I'm going to admit it here too, like Monopoly, nobody's going to ever play Monopoly with me after this series. But last time I played Monopoly, I took advantage of my 11-year-old nephew. That's messed up, I know. But I even told him what I was doing. I'm like, this is not a good decision. Like, you shouldn't do this. This is a bad decision. You shouldn't trust me whatsoever. But he got excited. He was so excited to make these deals, he just went crazy. In fact, he was getting ready to lose, and he's like thinking, like, I need money. I need to trust in this Monopoly money. So he's doing anything he could. So he was selling me all his properties for, like, these ridiculous deals. And again, I'm telling him, like, dude, that's not a good choice. Like, you shouldn't do this. Like, don't trust the money. If you play the game and you balance it out, you can make it happen, right? But sure enough, he traded me all these things for super cheap. Next few moves, I, like, cleaned him out. Like, I picked the shoe because I like to kick butt at Monopoly. That's what I usually pick. And he sold me all these properties. I cashed in, but I took advantage of him, right? Because he trusted in the wrong thing. I think many times we trust in the wrong thing. We trust in the wrong thing in life as well. Even like if you think about it, it kind of goes back to maybe even like playing the lottery. See, I think too many times we trust in money. So there's times where, I'm just going to say this, I've actually played the lottery before because, you know, when it's the office setting comes around, there's that one guy that always has he's the lottery guy, right? Comes around, is like, dude, I'm getting lottery tickets. It's up to $400 million. So you're like, you know you can't win this, but for some reason, you just want to put that $2 in because there's a chance, right? So you go through this, and pretty much he's probably cashing out. He's the one he probably makes these fake lottery ticket numbers, throws the email back, hey, here's your lottery tickets. I made these all up. There's not a chance, but I cashed in on your $2 and gathered it all. But I did this, so I'm going to tell you this one time where I played the lottery and I didn't win. But I played the lottery, put my $2 in there, and then I'm like looking out, I'm like, so, okay, there's like a 1 in 200 million chance. So in my head, I'm thinking like, so you're telling me there's a chance, right? So I bought the ticket, and then as we all buy a lottery ticket, maybe you've done this before, your first concept, you're like, you know, we're not going to win. But then you start thinking about it, like, but if I did win? So you start off, and for me, I kind of start off conservative and be like, yeah, you know, of course I'm going to give. Like, that's what I'm supposed to do that. If I win, I don't even know if I'm supposed to play the lottery, but I know if I'm not supposed to, I have to give. So, of course, I'm going to give. And then I'm thinking, like, you know what? I'd pay my house off. I'd fix my truck up. There's a couple issues there. You know, it's a Ford F-150. There's rust spot. I'd fix that up, get those kind of rolling. And then I just kind of put the rest into the investment. So, really conservative way of thinking. You start dreaming about, like, man, it'd be nice to live without a house payment. It'd be nice to have a car that, like, is good to go, right? So you're thinking, oh, this is good. But then you realize that it was hundreds of millions of dollars is what the lottery was. So there's more money. Like, I could do more. So I'm thinking, like, oh, you know what? I'll buy my house. I'll buy another house, right? I'll buy a new car. I'll buy a whole fleet of trucks. And then I'll take a vacation. And then it even jumps a little bit more because you're thinking, like, okay, there's still millions of dollars left, so I'm never going back to work. Instead of, like, buying a lake house, I'm going to buy a straight lake. Instead of buying just a boat, I'm going to buy a yacht that I can just go live on. And you start dreaming about these things. And then next thing you know, you go back into work the next day, and guess what? I didn't win. And for some reason, I was actually bummed out. I'm like, oh, man. I was kind of bummed out because I was trusting in that lottery ticket to really provide for things. Now, I wasn't really bummed out that I can't buy my lake house or my whole entire lake, but I was kind of bummed out. I'm like, man, you know what? I can't, like, fix the truck up. I can't do these conservative things because I was placing my hope and I was placing my trust in that lottery ticket. And don't we do that sometimes, right? There's times where we place our trust and our hope in the wrong things. Now listen, if you're wondering if it's right or wrong to play the lottery, I'm just going to tell you, it's not the wisest decision. And what's really wrong with it, it can lead to us putting our trust in something other than God. And God warns us over and over again to not trust anything but Him. In fact, He even gets a little bit more specific throughout the Bible, talking and give us instructions not to put our trust or our hope in even money or finances. Again, it goes back to the scripture in 1 Timothy 6:17, where it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. It says, don't put your hope in wealth. Don't put your trust in money. Don't we do that sometimes? And there are many times where we trust our finances, we trust our job, we trust our paycheck more than we trust God. And what if the key to breaking ourselves of this terrible habit, and of breaking ourselves of trusting finances, of breaking ourselves of trusting stuff, what if it came down to a question of ownership? And this whole idea of ownership is taught through what we call stewardship. In fact, the Bible states that everything we have, including our money, including our finances, everything we have is actually His. It's just entrusted to us. And we have the responsibility of managing it. We have the responsibility of looking over everything that's been entrusted to us. We have the responsibility of stewardship. In fact, this is a principle that goes well before Jesus even walked on this earth. And we see this through the expressions of David in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 14. So if you would go there with me. But David, again, David was a warrior. He was a king. He was really this living legend. He was this man who was known to have a heart after God. But David still made some big mistakes. Again, David wasn't perfect. No, I'm not talking about mistakes. Like, David made some big mistakes. Like, he committed adultery. He committed murder. I mean, those are just, you know, one of those starts to those mistakes he had. But David was still known as a man after God's own heart. And really, it comes down to the fact that he was an incredible steward. And he had this incredible understanding of who God was and the fact that God owns everything. And we see this in this passage of Scripture here in 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 14, where it says this. It says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. And in your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Our God, we give you thanks, and we praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." If you look at David's mindset, it was really a pretty simple mindset, because he understood this important fact that I want us to walk out understanding today, and it's this, is that everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. And when I say everything, like, I mean, like, everything, like, all things, our whole lives, the whole kit and caboodle. I don't even know what that means, but, like, all of it, right? The whole ball of wax, like, every single thing, it all belongs to Him. It goes even beyond our finances. Yeah, our finances, every part of our finances, they belong to Him. But so do our jobs. So do our time. So does our talent. So does our abilities. So does our families. Like, everything, every single thing is His. Everything we have and everything around us is His. And we need to trust Him with that. We need to trust and understand that He knows what He's doing because everything is His. David, again, sums this up nicely in Psalms 25:1. He says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Every single thing. Now, I know this sounds redundant, and again, this is kind of a simple mindset, but really, it's a hard concept to grasp. It's a hard concept, really, to understand and to live out, but everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to Him, and we are just called to steward it all for Him. But the problem is that we don't necessarily trust Him enough. And because we don't trust Him, it affects the way we steward. I mean, if you think about it, for most of us, if we went out and hired ourselves to manage our stuff, we'd probably fire ourselves for poor management. I mean, listen, like, for many of us, we mismanage our money, we mismanage our time, we mismanage our talents, and for all of us, this is really an easy trap to fall into. For many of us, if we be honest, we're really irresponsible sometimes. Think about it, just this past week. I mean, for some of us, maybe we went out 3 to 4 times out to eat instead of saving money, and when I say we, I'm talking about myself. This week, I went out 3-4 times instead of saving money. Like, it's sometimes irresponsible. For many of us, we choose to pay the minimum on that credit card while continuing to even use that credit card instead of striving to get out of debt. We mismanage our finances. For many of us, we do the same thing with our talents as well. We choose to veg out and watch TV instead of reading a book, or instead of listening to a podcast, instead of doing something that can make us better. We choose to scroll social media for an hour instead of spending quality time with our family. We choose to hit that snooze button in the morning instead of going to the gym or going out for a run, right? We choose to do just the bare minimum at work instead of going and above and beyond, right? You get the point, but for many of us, it's an easy trap to fall into. And really, the results of falling into this trap are never anything that we ever set out to achieve. When we mismanage our finance, what's the result, right? It can result in credit card debt. It can result in those overdrafts, those embarrassing overdraft fees that you get from your bank. It can result in a foreclosure. It can result in bankruptcy, right? When we mismanage our time, it can result in stress, and undue stress that we really put on ourselves. When we mismanage our time, it can result in this deteriorating health and this really just this lack of growth in our personal lives. When we mismanage our talents, it results in complacency and missed opportunities. And again, this all stems to who we trust and who we give credit to. I think too many times we pay attention and we trust in the wrong things. And whoever we believe is our source will get our attention and our affection. Whoever we believe is our source will get our attention and our affection. And I think too many times we look to the wrong place, and really what we're looking to is we're looking to ourselves. I think too many times we believe that we are our own source. And what this is pride. This is arrogance. This is greed in action. Too many times we take credit for when times are good, but when something goes bad, that's when we blame God, right? That's when we give him the credit because something went wrong. What we're doing, though, is we're pushing God on the outside. In fact, when we believe that we're self-made, we don't leave any room for God. We don't leave any room for his provisions and even his blessings. And what we're doing is we're becoming and we're living out being a poor steward. But it all changes when we realize everything belongs to God. When we understand this, we become a good steward. In fact, being a good steward is even really kind of looks differently than you could even imagine. Because being a good steward is so much more than just making wise decisions. Being a good steward is so much more than just making these sound choices. Being a good steward is really having the right heart in each and every one of those decisions. It's having a foundation for those decisions. And here's what we do. Here's our action step that can really point us to believing and understanding that everything belongs to God. And it's going to be different. This is going to be a little bit different lesson on stewardship than you probably heard. I'm not going to give you just a breakdown of how you save money, of how you give. But what I'm going to tell you to do is it all starts really with the foundation of praising God. We have to praise God. To be a good steward, we have to praise God. To understand that everything belongs to God, we have to act it out with our praise. And praise is this. Praise is an expression of admiration. For us to understand that everything belongs to God, we need to express our admiration. We need to celebrate him in our lives and all that he's done in and through our lives. We need to pay tribute to him through worship and through praise. Our level of stewardship begins with our level of praise. Therefore, we must praise God. Again, if you look at the life of David, he had this great understanding of stewardship. He had this great understanding of ownership. And it goes back to praise. Again, in 1 Chronicles 29:10, it says, "Praise be to you, Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." We need to endlessly praise God. And praise is really giving the credit where credit is due. We need to give the credit to God in our lives. David demonstrated this again as he continued in verse 11, where he says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." Praise God through giving him the credit that he deserves. He is great, he's powerful, he's exalted over all, and he deserves our praise. So this is how we praise. Get a little bit practical here. How we can praise is we give thanks. We praise through giving thanks. And if you jump down to verse 13 of 1 Chronicles 29, you see David continuing to praise God through giving thanks, where he says, "Now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name." Give thanks. And what giving thanks looks like to God is really no different than what it is to giving it to somebody else. We actually verbally have to say the words "thank you" to God. Like, say it out loud. Say, "Thank you, God." We express our gratitude verbally by saying thank you. We also express our gratitude and we give thanks by even bragging on God. Listen, when you're giving somebody credit and around you that you're giving thanks to, oftentimes you share and you boast about what they did. For us, we need to share and boast about what God's doing in our lives. We need to brag on God to give him the credit. We need to thank him for what he's doing. And then also, sometimes we just need to write about it. For you, that could be journaling, or maybe it even means writing a thank you card out to God. It sounds different, but for many times, it's an expression of our gratitude, and we need to do that because it will increase our level of stewardship. Another way to praise God is by acknowledging Him as the source. Part of praising Him is really acknowledging where everything comes from. It's acknowledging the fact that He is the source. It's an understanding that He is the beginning of everything. He's the source of all things. And we need to acknowledge and take time to realize that. And when we do that, it puts a lot of things into perspective. When we acknowledge that He's the source, it really puts us in our place, and it puts Him in His rightful place to deserve and to gain and to accept all that praise that we do. We need to understand that He is the source of all things, and we need to acknowledge the source. A couple weeks ago, I had this conversation with my six-year-old daughter, Berkeley. We were driving, so if you know anything about driving in a car with a six-year-old or somebody around that age, like, it is like question pepper time, right? Because, like, I can't go anywhere. I'm stuck in the car, and it's time for question after question after question. So we were driving around, and she's asking me these questions. And then she starts talking a little bit about God, which is always, those are always some fun questions. But she starts off, she says, "Dad, did God go to school?" So I answered just with a simple no, but we all know that wasn't good enough, right? So I'm like, give me a yes or no question, I'm going to give you a no or a yes, right? We'll just start there. So I said no. But then she continued on, and she's like, "Yeah, well, how does He know everything then?" This is a good question. So I'm thinking about it a little bit. And then I go to her, I'm like, "Yeah, you know what? God knows everything because He made everything. And since He made everything, He knows every little thing about it." And I'm thinking, like yes, that was a good answer. Rocking this. This is going to be good, right? And it was a pretty good question because she kind of moved on. I think she thought about it. She's like, "Yeah, that makes sense." But then she asked this question. She says, "Does God have parents?" I go, "Wow, okay, look at her go." So I answer like, "You know, no, He doesn't. He was the first. He was the beginning." I'm thinking again, this is good stuff, right? This should get her there. Of course, not in the mind of a six-year-old, because her next question was, "Well, who fed Him and how did He get big," right? So I had to say, you know, He was the source of everything. He's the beginning of everything. But I love that conversation because she's digging in and she's trying to find the source. She wanted to know the source, and there's something so pure about that. I think this is why Jesus tells us to become like children when we come before God, right? And we need to acknowledge that God is the source of everything. And really, it's an action of praise. David showed this in verse 12 of First Chronicles 29, where he says, "Wealth and honor come from You. You are the ruler of all things. In Your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all." God is the source. All wealth comes from God. All honor comes from God. He's the source and the ruler of it all. He's the source of all our strength. But do we actually acknowledge that in our lives? And think about that for a moment. Do we go to God as the source? Do we know Him and do we acknowledge that He is the source of everything? The best way to understand this and to acknowledge the fact that He's the source is to go back through the Bible, right? The Bible is His manual for our lives. So we need to spend time in the Bible reading it and understanding and acknowledging the fact that He is the source. This is why we do Bible reading plans. If you're on social media or on our Facebook, we share a Bible reading plan each week because we want you to get into the Word. We want you to go and understand that God is the source through His manual that He's given us, right? Another way of understanding this is why we do life groups. It's a way of really placing yourself in an area where it points back to God as the source. This is why we do life groups together, so that we can walk with others in life pointing back to the source and acknowledging Him as the source. And this is a part of praise. And the last part of praise that's really practical is this. It's singing. A practical way to praise God is through song. Listen, there's a reason why we start off Sunday mornings with singing. There's a reason why we end Sunday mornings with singing. And it's more than the reason just that's what churches do, but it's a way to acknowledge praise. It's a practical way to give Him thanks. It's a practical way to put God first and acknowledge that He's the source. It's a practical way to give things and put things into perspective of us. It's a way to realize that everything belongs to God. Singing is an incredible way to praise. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song called Resurrecting. It's really describing all that Jesus has done for us. And it puts Him back in His place, letting Him know that he is the source, right? For us, when we sing this, I want to challenge you to sing as loud as you can. Even if you sing poorly, listen, sing. But we need to sing. And singing even goes beyond just a Sunday morning, but you can sing anywhere you go, right? If you go and look at David, who's writing most of what we're studying today, David was known to be like just praise crazy. He was a singer. Everywhere he went, he sang. He did things and sang, and people were looking at him like he was completely nuts, but he sang everywhere he went. We need to do the same thing. We need to sing. Sing in your car. Sing at home. Sing when you're mowing the lawn. Sing praise songs, because sometimes I sing mowing the lawn, I'm talking about how bad mowing is. But sing praise songs when you're doing this, right? Sing at work if you work in a place that like is kind of secluded. Like, don't be distraction to others, but sing when you can. Set your radio station to something that you can sing to and give praises to God. For me, my favorite Pandora station is the Elevation Worship. I throw that on there and I sing. Well, we praise God through singing. Our level of stewardship begins with our level of praise, because it shows and it demonstrates to us and it helps us grasp the understanding that everything belongs to God. The foundation of stewardship starts with praise, and we must praise God. And when we do, we live differently. We live beyond ourselves and beyond our abilities. Again, if you go to 1 Chronicles 29:14, the ending of this, it says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." I think this is the statement that we all ask ourselves. This is the question we all ask ourselves. Who am I? Who are we? God, how can you use me? How can we do anything? How can we make a difference, right? And the answer is that we are a child of God. We are a steward of everything that He already owns. And if we trust Him, He entrusts us as well. The fact is, we are co-heirs to the throne with Jesus. Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, and was risen again so that we could be co-heirs to everything that God owns, that we could be a steward of everything God owns, but we have to trust Him. Imagine your life. Imagine living it differently. Imagine living a life of generosity because you fully trusted God and understood that He owns everything. Imagine living a life where God used you as a vessel to bless others. Imagine living a life where you can do all things through Him, because it's His strength, it's His source that's working in and through you. That's what contentment is. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote this and described it this way in Philippians 4, 12 through 13, where he says, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And I can do all of this through Him who gives me strength." God owns everything, including our strength. And we can do all things because He's the owner of all things, and He's entrusted us through stewardship to do that. But it all starts with acknowledging the fact that everything belongs to God.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com, and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.